Hurt Center with Miss Cassie and Miss Jolie. But they got it. They got it figured out. All right. It is good to see everyone this morning. Unity. Unity. A word, a concept that you and I always wish for our families, for our country, for our church. The church in Corinth, as we've been studying for a couple months now, struggled with unity. They were divided over many things. We can look back at chapter 1. The church was divided over who they followed. Some would say, I follow Apollos. Some, I follow Cephas. Some, I follow Paul. Some, well, I follow Christ. They were divided. We look in chapter 6. They had lawsuits. They were dragging one another to court amongst the body of believers, amongst the church there in Corinth. In chapter 8, we looked at whether or not it was right for them to eat food sacrificed to idols. Should we not? And Paul had to give them clarity on that. That whether you eat or whether you drink, that you would do it all for the glory of God. Don't be divided. Last week, as we all partook in the Lord's Supper, reading through this passage, they were even divided over that. Paul talks about in chapter 11, verse 19, that when you come together for at the meal, each one eats his own supper. One person's hungry, another one gets drunk. You're not united. You're not even united around the Lord's Supper. So Corinth struggled with division amongst them as a local body there in Corinth. And in chapter 12, as we continue to go through this letter, Paul turns his focus from the carnality of the Corinthians to spiritual things. And that his desire for them, beginning here as he lays this foundation, is for them to understand and live united by the Spirit of God who gifts them, who gifts us for the glory of God and the common good of the church. And so as we unpack the next three chapters, no, not this morning, but over the next few Sundays, y'all are like, Tanner's up here, we'll get out early. No, we'll just go through 11 verses. But over the next three chapters, 12 through 14, Paul unfolds the details of the unity, the diversity, and the maturity in the church. And in these specific verses, Paul is laying the foundation of what he's going to talk about. Matt and I were talking about this. We usually talk about what passage he's going to be in each week, and we shoot back and forth. He said, you know, sometimes with Paul's writing, because I was asking him about this passage, Paul like takes a hand grenade and throws it in a room and lets it blow up, and then he goes, no, I'll explain all of it. Just give me a minute. And so this morning, we're going to come across a passage that kind of, it's going to seem like that. There's a lot there, and there's going to be maybe questions around it, but Paul unpacks it. And so be here next week, and the next week as we walk through God's Word together. And so if you can and if you will, please stand as we read together 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you used to be enticed and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that you have given us together this morning as a local body to open your word and to hear from you. Lord, I pray over the next moments that we have together that, Lord, you would teach us. Father, that by your Spirit, you would give us wisdom and understanding into your word. That when we walk away from here, we know more of who you are and, Lord, who you call us to be in Christ. Lord, I pray that we would be united by your Spirit. That there would be no divisions among us. That as we live, breathe, as a local body, Lord, we would be a bright light into a lost world. And that people would see the unity by your Spirit in Christ in everything that we do. Father, help us. I pray this in your name. Amen. Paul begins, as we said, in a transition. He's been talking about all these ways they've been divided. He's having to give them clear teaching and all these different topics and what's going on amongst the church. And now he says, now concerning spiritual gifts. Your translation, spiritual things or just spirituals. He's turning to turn their minds and their focus to spiritual things. And he tells them, I do not want you to be unaware. I, Paul, want you to be clear on this. I, Paul, want you not to be divided over this. I, Paul, want you to understand this, that you would walk in unity among this. I don't want you to be ignorant about this. I want this to be clear and crystal clear. I'm writing to you so that you will know the truth concerning spiritual gifts, concerning spiritual things. You know that when you were pagan, you used to be enticed and led astray by mute idols. If you can remember, as Matt laid foundations of kind of Corinth as a city and what was going on, that it was a big city, a lot going on, a lot of trade coming through there. There's a lot of culture and a lot of people and a lot of lostness going on, a lot of idolatry, a lot of pagan worship and pagan temples. There's a lot of immorality going on. And Paul is writing to this church here, these believers now. He says, look, you used to be this way. You used to be led astray. You used to be enticed by mute idols. That now, while you are a believer now, that your faith is in Christ, remember, you were pagan. That you were led astray. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he talks about this, verses 9 through 11. He says, Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom or God's kingdom? Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, or males who have sex with males, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbal abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom. And some of you used to be like this. And you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. You used to be this way. But now concerning spiritual things, spiritual gifts, I want you to know that you used to be these people, you used to be in these temples, you used to be bowing down to these mute idols made of wood and stone, made by human hands. In Habakkuk's day, he writes about idols saying, what use is a carved idol after its craftsman carves it? It is only but a cast image, a teacher of lies. For the one who crafts its shapes, trust in it, and makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to wood, wake up, or to mute stone, come alive. Can it teach? Look, it may be plated with gold or silver, yet there is no breath in it at all. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, you used to be led astray by these mute idols. You used to bow down to them. Folks, he's saying, you don't belong there anymore. Now, in our day, yes, you may not have ever bowed to a wood idol that's created with your hand and turned it over and said, this is my God. That you may have never seen a statue and said, yep, this is my God. But there was a time in your life where Christ was not king in your heart, that you did not bow before him. And Paul is saying, look, this has been your past. But I'm about to inform you about spiritual things, and I don't want you to be uninformed. That you may have a understanding of what spiritual things are like because of your old worship, but I want you to be clear. That is not who you are. That you are no longer led astray. You are no longer enticed by that, by things of the world. You belong to the living God. You belong to the living God. You are the one who belongs to him, who has saved us through his Son and given us his Spirit to dwell inside of us, to live the life that he's called us to. That is who you are. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. Therefore, verse 3, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Folks, as we think about what it means to be united and gifted by one Spirit, one Lord, one God, understand, folks, as a body of believers who have been washed and sanctified, we confess the same Christ. We confess the same Christ. What is our confession? Jesus is Lord. Think about, you've seen probably people getting baptized, and oftentimes they're asked, what is your confession? In three words, what is it? Jesus is Lord. Peter and John before the Jewish leadership in Acts chapter 4, in verse 8 it says, and Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he stood up and said this. And in verse 12 it says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. Church, our confession is the same. If you're a believer in here, we have the same confession. Christ is King. Jesus is Lord. And Paul says, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit. And no one who says Jesus is cursed says that by the Spirit. So what is this? What is he saying here? Well, we have to ask, how can we have this confession? Well, Paul tells us, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. That it is only by the Spirit of God working into our hearts that testifies about who Christ is, that we can say that confession from a heart of belief. Remember, John chapter 15, Jesus is with his disciples. He knows he's on his way to the cross. And he's preparing them for a time that he will not be with them. And he says this, when the counselor comes, when the advocate comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. You know, I always think there was a day in my life that I did not love Christ. I had been in church my whole life, but there were years in my life until I was a believer, there were years I didn't say that. Sure, I knew the things of the gospel. I knew the things of the word. My parents, like, it was not optional to go to church. All those different things. But it is only by the Spirit of God working in my heart that I can say, Jesus is Lord, that he saved me, right? And so there was a day where I did not have that confession, and there was a day where I did. And praise be to God who sees us in our sin and does not leave us. Yet by his Holy Spirit, he works in our hearts, brings us to conviction that we would cry out, Lord, save me. Jesus is Lord. So church, remember, our confession is the same. You and I confess the same Christ. We are on the same team. And we confess this by the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit who lives in us as believers. Now, can an unbeliever mutter the words, Jesus is Lord, from their lips? Yes. But only by the Spirit of God can one person say that from a heart of belief. You with me? We know anybody that can speak, can vibrate their vocal cords to say the three words, Jesus is Lord. But if you're a believer in here, it's more than just words. It's from a heart of belief by the power of the Spirit of God that you and I are united in this confession. So church, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And no one says by the Spirit, Jesus is cursed. Because our confession is the same. Christ is King. Jesus is Lord. We confess the same Christ. Not only is our confession the same, we are gifted by the same Spirit. We are gifted by the same Spirit. Verse 4. Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. The gifts, the ministries, the activities are diverse. But it all comes from the same Lord, the same Spirit, the same God who is work in all of these. Paul will unpack this more as we get into the next section of that God has given a unity and diversity of gifts and ministries and activities. But here Paul is saying, look, there are many gifts. There are many activities. There are many ministries amongst the body. But listen, it is all by the same Spirit. That you and I are all gifted by the same Spirit, that we each, as believers in Christ, have been given these grace gifts. Now, when we think of what it means to be gifted by the Holy Spirit, a lot of times in our culture, we take gifts and we make it equal, the same, as talents. But what is Paul speaking of here specifically when he talks about that is the body has been gifted by one Spirit, one Lord, one God. Talents that you may have are not necessarily gifts of the Spirit. How do we know? What is Paul talking about? We live in a football culture. There are many people who are great at football that we probably watched on TV yesterday that we would say those people are highly talented. How can we say that those are not gifts of the Spirit of God? Because there are many playing on a football field who do not have the confession that Christ is King, so the Spirit of God is not alive and working in their hearts. They are lost. Now, has God given them talents by His common grace to all people? Yes. Has He put them in families who have genetics, who have great at football and all this? Yes, great, right? I'm not 6'4", 240 pounds, right? I'm probably not playing linebacker. But if you are, praise God, use it for His glory. But when Paul talks about spiritual gifts, we can't just relax so much on it and say that oh, she's just speaking of anything that we have the ability to do. What is Paul speaking of here? That these are grace gifts given to believers, every believer, that we each have different roles, services, and activities amongst the life of the church. For example, Peter stood and preached to thousands at Pentecost in Acts 4. And I was thinking about Peter. We know Acts 2, Spirit came at Pentecost. Peter stands up, preached. There's thousands that came to Christ that day. And not too long before this was pitiful old Peter standing around a warm fire denying Christ because he was so scared in the moment. And yet this is the same guy who is then standing before thousands saying, no, Christ is King. We can look at Barnabas in Acts chapter 4. Barnabas, known as the son of encouragement. In Acts chapter 4, as the church was coming together, they were meeting each other's needs. We know of a guy named Barnabas, and he sold a field to give and to meet the needs of people in the body. We see deacons in Acts chapter 6, men gifted in service, that there was a need amongst the apostles, that they couldn't delegate all their time to prayer and to the teaching of the word because there were so many people at this time and they needed to eat and there were so many needs. And like, look, we need men. We need men that would come together that would that are filled with the Holy Spirit, that are gifted in service, that are full of prayer, and that they would go. And they sent them out. We see Aquila and Priscilla in Acts chapter 18, a godly couple we see here in Scripture who taught the great Apollos. They mentored him in the faith. But we see that these are each believers being gifted by the Holy Spirit to work and live and achieve different roles and services within the body. But in all these diverse ways the church has been gifted, it is by the one Spirit of God. Folks, we have the same confession. And we are gifted by the same Spirit. And we are gifted for the same purpose. Verse 7. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one, given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the performing of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each person as He wills. A manifestation of the Spirit of God has gifted each person, each believer, for the common good of the church. That is the purpose. What common good? That we would build up one another. That our confession is the same. Christ is Lord. We have been gifted by the same Spirit, and we are gifted for the same purpose. Paul also, if you're curious about spiritual gifts, as we walk through the next three chapters, Paul speaks about them in Ephesians chapter 4, here in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, and also Romans chapter 12. But he says in Ephesians, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness." In all gifts, in every gift, they are to be used for the glory of God and the common good of the church. If at any point any of us displaying a spiritual gift, if it draws attention to ourselves rather than Christ, if it tears down the church instead of builds up, this is not from God and we need to turn from it. Because we have the same confession, we are gifted by the same Spirit, and we're gifted for the same purpose, to build one another up in love, to glorify God. The Corinthians have been divided over so much. We've been talking about it. And Paul is informing them, please don't get this twisted. Each of these gifts is not only for you. It is for your brother and sister in Christ to help, to serve, to teach, to encourage, to build up, to discern, to offer a wise word. One of the hardest things about this passage is to preach it, is not to run into verses 12 and on. Because Paul begins to talk about diversity and unity and how we need one another. But the foundation is that we have to understand what is the purpose of these gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are for the common good. Now, church, understand throughout church history, there have been many different views, beliefs about specific spiritual gifts. What I want you to know is that spiritual gifts is not a salvation issue. That is not to shy away from it. But if you and I are going to be united in one confession by the same Spirit for the same purpose, we have to not make something that's not a salvation issue a salvation issue. That when we speak of spiritual gifts and how you and I are gifted or in what ways the Spirit gifts or what ways they play themselves out, This is not something that is a salvation issue that we as a body of believers should elevate and say, well, you can't be a Christian if you believe it this way. Have grace with our brothers and sisters that believe differently from us. But also understand this, as we live in a day and age where spiritual gifts are often put on display or talked about in many different ways, no spiritual gift confuses the body. No spiritual gift confuses the body of Christ. No spiritual gift takes attention away from God and puts it on a person, nor any spiritual gift treats God as a vending machine in the sense of, God, if I'm going to do this, and because I did this, you are therefore required to play it out this way. If I say this, you are required for this person to be healed. No spiritual gift confuses the body of Christ. No spiritual gift takes attention away from the very Spirit who gifts us. And no spiritual gift treats God as something of demand. And Paul unfolds this in the next chapters as we get into chapter 13 and 14. And so, again, as I warned you, there's a hand grenade being thrown out. Paul unfolds it. But in our hearts today, we have to understand that we have the same confession, that we've been gifted by one Spirit, one Lord, one God. And the way Paul lays that out speaks so much of the Trinity right there. There's different ministries, same Spirit, different activities, same Lord, different gifts, right? Same God. But verse 11, one and the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each person as He wills. One and the same Spirit. One and the same Spirit in God's perfect order, in God's sovereignty above all things, gifts each of us as believers according to His will for the good of the church. So where do you and I, how do we come to the end of a passage like this, and what do we walk away with as we begin to think about in 1 Corinthians 12 and onward about spiritual gifts? 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter writes this in verses 7 through 11. The end of all things is near, therefore be alert and sober-minded for prayer. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. We are but stewards of the gifts that God gives us by His Spirit. Stewards. I remember early, about 15, 16 years old, I since felt the Lord calling me to ministry. I had men in my life who were mentoring me through that calling. I had no idea what it meant. But I remember at that time in my life, there were really three things that I just couldn't stand. Number one, crowds. I don't like being around a lot of people. Number two, I didn't like talking in front of people. Didn't care for it because I didn't like crowds. And number three, I didn't like reading. Me and a book usually weren't found in the same place. But by the grace of God, I stand before you today, and it's not to puff myself up. It's to say, this is not of natural ability. This is but the grace of God that I can stand here as a guy before you saying, I've been saved. But we're stewards. Have I stewarded this gift in the best possible way? No, I've failed. But we have to ask ourselves, how are we stewarding the gifts that God has given to each of us? Whether that be teaching, wisdom, faith, mercy, service. Church, Church, do you realize that we all have the same confession this morning? Do you know we're on the same team? Yes, there are many things and many opinions that we can all have. But we're one body, one confession. You realize that you've been gifted, we've been gifted by the same Spirit for the same purpose. And are you being a good steward of the gifts that God has given you? How can we flesh this out? Well, are you using it for yourself, to build yourself up? Are you building up others? Are you building up the body? It is so easy for you and I to use a gift that God has given us for our own good and block out everybody else. Say, nobody else does it right, but I'm in the church, I'm a part of the body, and I do it right, I understand it, so therefore I'm going to keep doing it. How is that good for the rest of us? How is that good? If Matt or I stand before you as pastors and we talk and preach about what we just think and what we say is right and all these different things, is that in any way edifying the church? No. If any of you in service or in knowledge or in faith is like, no, just look at me, I have to ask, in what way is that for the common good of all believers? So are you being a good steward? And can you say from your heart this morning, Jesus is Lord? If not, if you cannot say that from a heart of belief, turn from your sin, turn to the only one who can save you from your sin, and have faith in Christ Jesus and in Him alone. There is no name given under heaven by which people must be saved. Believe in Christ. Church, together may we continue to confess Christ. May we continue to understand our gifting is by but one Spirit for the same purpose. Folks, if we understand this, if we walk this out, if we flesh this out in our midst and in all the different ministries and activities amongst New Home, oh, what a light it is to the community of Titus and Wetumpka and everywhere else around here. To say, hey, we're different, we're diverse, we have one confession. The Spirit of God lives in each of us and we have one purpose for the common good. What a testimony of the truth of who God is, that we would be united in using our gifts for that purpose. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, I do love you. Thank you for the time that you've given us together. And Father, as we continue to walk through your word, we continue to ask that you help us understand, Lord, by your Spirit, your truth. Lord, pray this morning that as we saw, Lord, that our confession is the same. It's only by the Spirit of God working in our hearts, Lord, that we confess that you, Christ, are Lord. Lord, thank you for that confession. Thank you that it is by Christ and what He accomplished on the cross that we may be saved. Lord, that we have gone from darkness to light. We've gone from death to life. Lord, we were enemies of yours. We were far from you. But Lord, through faith in Christ, you have brought us near. You have declared us righteous in your eyes. Lord, you have washed us. You are sanctifying us by your Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray that as a body here called New Home Baptist Church, Lord, that we would understand the unity that we have in Christ Jesus through your Spirit. To glorify you in all things, to use the gifts that you've given us for the common good, that, Lord, we wouldn't be like a bunch of silos standing tall, but, God, we would be but one body. We would be one church. We would have one purpose. Lord, that we would go out to notice, harvest, to build, and commission. That, Lord, we wouldn't lose sight of the mission that you've given us in your word, And Lord, we thank you that you have empowered us by your Spirit. You have gifted us in ways that we maybe thought we would never do, in ways that we never thought that we would be able to serve, that we'd never be able to relate to people, we'd never be able to help and minister to those around us. But Lord, you distribute to each as you will, according to your perfect knowledge. And God, we thank you. Lord, I pray over the believers sitting before me, God, that you would encourage them, Lord, that as they maybe this morning think about, Lord, where am I gifted? God, that you would settle them, Lord, that they would speak to someone and see, God, where you're working in their heart, maybe where you have gifted them. And God, they would play a role in your body. Lord, that we would get off the sidelines, that we would get into the playing field, that we wouldn't be spectators. Father, I pray for those before me who cannot confess from their heart that Jesus is Lord. Lord, that you would convict them, that they would know that Christ is King, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to you except through him. Father, that you would save only as you can. The hearts would be turned over to you, and that someone would go from death to life this very morning. Father, we love you. But God, we thank you that you first loved us. We thank you that we can be a part of a local body. Lord, I thank you for each and every one of these believers that are in here that have ministered to me and my wife, that are ministering to each other in times of need, that are coming together in wisdom and knowledge and faith and service, all these different ways to build one another up in love. Lord, pray that as we move forward that we would continue to reach maturity in Christ's fullness, that you would be glorified in our midst. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen.